He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. Happy Tuesday to you. God bless you. God bless this Tuesday in your life. Thanks for having us tuned in. Actually, you're tuning into God's frequency today, and God's got a word for you, and it will come out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is the last sermon in this series, Famous Chapters of the Bible. This sermon I've entitled, Why the Delay? Why hasn't the Lord returned yet? You know, there actually is an answer. Now, I know the common thing, you know, people say is, well, you know, no one knows the day or the hour. And naturally, that is correct. The Lord Jesus says, he says, at an hour that you think not, the Son of Man cometh. However, we are not ignorant. The Apostle Paul is explicitly clear that certain things must happen first prior to the Lord Jesus' return. And that is 2 Thessalonians. Matter of fact, let me grab my Bible and I will read a verse or two out of here for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. There it is. There's the subject matter. The Lord Jesus' return and our episunago, like the word synagogue is gathering. Epi, like epicenter, gathering to him. He's the center of it all, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his subject matter. That's what he's addressing. Because it was a false letter. There was a forged letter out there, supposedly coming from Paul, telling the Thessalonians that they missed the rapture. So he had to correct their understanding. That's what this chapter 2 is about. That's why he says, don't be shaken, in verse 2. Don't be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless, all right, here comes his list. The day of Christ, this gathering together to him, is not going to come until these things happen first, until the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Those are the things, according to the word of God, must come first before he returns. I know it's not popular. There's a lot of stuff and teaching out there that teaches Christians they'll never break a nail, they'll never see any trial or trouble or tribulation in their life, but I'm just reading to you what the word of God says. That's the subject for this sermon. The video is uploaded on our YouTube channel, Island Community Church. It's called Why the Delay. You'll hear it here Tuesday and Wednesday on the radio. I invite you to services tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse by verse. You are invited. We'd love to see you. Okay, here we go. This is part one of this message now. Why the Delay?
Famous chapters of the Bible. If you guys are visiting here today, this normally is how this works. Usually get a handout, depending on how long the text is. Sometimes it'll have the verses in it, like this does, but it'll have the scripture references on the bottom to everything that I'm going to say. So if you need one of these, we've got some in the back, just raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get one. Okay, last installment again in this series here, Famous Chapters of the Bible. I've entitled this sermon, Why the Delay? Now, next week, I mentioned this last week and it pricked a lot of ears. I'm going to preach on, not on what happened, but as a result of what I saw when President Trump was at this prayer meeting and the unfortunate things that happened to him and God said to him there. But the sermon's going to come as is the result of what I see, that people are surprised over what happened. So my sermon is called, Will the Real Christian Please Stand Up? Shouldn't be a surprise. What happened the way he got assaulted in this church, blindsided, shouldn't surprise anyone. That's par for the course. That's what we're going to look at here next week. Not politics. I don't preach politics. I preach the Word of God here. And that's what we're going to, that's what we will continue to do. But okay, this is our key chapter toward understanding end times and the rapture. And a chapter which more harm has been done in corrupting the meaning than any other chapter. Matter of fact, let's pray again before we get started. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, without your intervention and interceding and you leading us by your Holy Spirit, we'll never understand this text. We pray you would do just that now. Lead us and guide us. Speak to us through your word. Help us to understand the text that we're going to read. Now, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Again, I said, this is the key chapter toward understanding end times and the rapture, and a chapter in which more harm has been done in corrupting the meaning than any other chapter. And the difference is here in this phrase, Day of the Lord, which most modern Bibles have, and the Day of Christ, which is the correct reading. If you have a King James or a New King James, as you turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think it's verse 2, your Bible's either going to say Day of the Lord or Day of Christ, all depending on what your translation is. The Day of Christ, though, is the correct reading. There's just something about that phrase found here in this text that inspires godly people whom I respect to not speak honestly. So, Day of Christ or Day of the Lord? In my opinion, each possible reading changes the meaning of this text we're going to look at. Day of the Lord is the Old Testament Day of the Lord. The time of the end of all things we read about. Now, Amos, the Old Testament prophet, said this about the Day of the Lord. He said, Woe to you that desire the Day of the Lord. For what good is the Day of the Lord to you? All right, so I ask you, is that a good day or a bad day? It's bad. Woe to you who want it. He continues, It'll be darkness and not light. It'll be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him. Or as though he went into his house and he leaned his hand upon the wall and a snake bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? All right, that's Amos chapter 5, 18 through 20. I'm trying to show you the day of the Lord is not a good day, it's a bad day. He says, Woe to you that want it. Woe to you that desire it. It's a day of darkness and not light. Now, but the day of Christ is a good day. It's different than the day of the Lord. There's a few references. It's on your handout as well. You'll see them. They're up there on the screen. The day of Christ, I said, is a good day. Here's a few. Philippians 2:16. Paul says, holding fast to the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. See, the day of Christ is a good day. Paul said he's going to rejoice in it. The day of the Lord, he says, no, don't rejoice in that. That's a bad day. The day of Christ is a good day. It's not the same day. It's a different day. And this, 2 Corinthians 1:14, we are your boast and you are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. So, in my opinion, which I hope counts for something around here, I believe the day of Christ is not the same day as the day of the Lord. So, everybody good so far? The day of Jesus Christ. That's the day he returns and takes you out of this evil world, so that, to use his own words, so that where he is, right, there you may be, so that where I am, there you may be also, he says. He's coming back again, praise God. He's coming back again to take us out of this world, he says, so that where I am, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I will come again and receive you unto myself. Receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Now, I believe that that is the day of Christ. It's a good day. So keep that in mind as we move through chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Also, keep in mind the title for this sermon, Why the Delay? After all these years, why the delay? And that would be my subject heading in my Bible. Many of you know I'm a Bible translator. I have some of my New Testament here in my office. If you want one, it's based on the majority text, New Testament. Why the delay? That's what I would put in here for a subject heading. The New King James, though, has the great apostasy. If you've got a New King James Bible, you'll see it there, subject heading. It says the great apostasy. Also, let me share to you why the Apostle Paul wrote this letter. Now, he wrote this letter because we believe that someone forged a letter to the Thessalonians claiming to have been written by the Apostle Paul. And in that letter, the author lied to them and told them that they missed the rapture. That's why he wrote this. Right? And how ironic is that? That even 2,000 years ago, they were arguing about the rapture, same as they do today. Even back then, they argued over it. Now, according to the Word of God, as we're about to see in verse 1, for your math equation, the day of Christ equals the rapture. It's a good day. So he's writing to set the record straight. You didn't miss any rapture, he's saying. He's saying the rapture can't happen, he says. The rapture can't happen until, write that word down, until. Why the delay? He's going to tell you why. Out of his own mouth, this is not me, I'm just the preacher. He's telling you, you didn't miss anything because that hasn't happened yet, because certain things have to happen first before that can happen. Now let's get started here. Verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, so catch the subject heading. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him. There it is, subject matter. The subject matter is the return of Jesus Christ. Second of all, the subject matter is what in Greek is episynagoge. The word synagogue means a gathering. Epi, like epicenter. You guys remember your Greek prepositions? Epi is the center, gathering together to Christ who is in the center. That's what this word means, gathering together. So that's not me telling you what the subject matter is. That's the Apostle Paul's telling you what he's going to talk about now. He's talking about this rapture of the church that everyone wants to argue and talk about. When is Jesus coming back to take us out of this world? That's what he's talking about. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, catch that phrase. Someone forged a letter in Paul's name. That's why he put that phrase in there, as if from us, as though I wrote this. I didn't write this. I didn't write you any letter saying to you that you missed the rapture. You didn't miss the rapture because. And he's going to tell us why now. Don't be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ has come. So, knowing what you now know, do you see how this makes a difference which one of those two is correct? Is Paul about to tell us what has to happen before the rapture or what has to happen before the end of the world? The bad day, the day of the Lord. See, whichever one of these manuscripts is right greatly influences your understanding of this text. Because the day of Christ is not the day of the Lord. They could be days, weeks, months. They could be years apart. Whichever manuscripts are right. Now, 87% of all Greek manuscripts read day of Christ. The one they found in a waste paper basket read day of the Lord. And everything followed that. I digress, though. So someone has sent the Thessalonians a false, thus saith the Lord, a counterfeit letter supposedly coming from him. As I said here in verse 2, it says, as if from us. And in this letter, which is why Paul wrote this letter, by the way, Paul's going to set the record straight. The rapture hasn't happened yet. The following things have to happen first before the rapture can take place. Verse 3. He says, let no one deceive you by any means. In other words, don't listen to those people out there when he says, don't let anyone deceive you. Pay no attention to what you read. Pay no attention to the prophecy books you see. Pay no attention to the guy on TV. Here comes the truth, he's saying, right here. Let no one deceive you by any means for that day. All right. What day? The day of Christ. Even if you don't like my opinion, he tells you in verse 1 what day. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our what? Our gathering together, even if you think I'm wrong. We got to grant that's what day means here. The gathering together to him. Even if I'm wrong, this still stands on its legs. Even if I'm wrong. The subject matter is the Lord coming back and us meeting him in the sky, which is what the word gathering together, Jesus says it. If you want to read from him, Matthew 24, verses 29 through 31, he says the same thing. So let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless. All right, here comes his list. Here comes the Apostle Paul's list on why we're still here and why he has not returned yet. He says, the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, comma, so that he sits as God in the temple of God. Boy, there's a list of things you got right there you need to be looking for, right? The day of Christ will not come unless he's telling you what is coming next. This is like tomorrow's newspaper. That day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. Greek word apokalypsis. My translation has there unveiled. Like a covering on a car if you go to a car show. See, it's always been there. It's been there for years sometimes. But the time is coming where poof, up, off comes the cover, out comes what's already been there. Now, Paul says that's what we're waiting for. Again, the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is unveiled. The son of perdition, that's funny. That's the same name that Jesus called who? Judas Iscariot, the son of perdition, right? John 17, no one is lost except one, the son of perdition. Isn't that funny? The Holy Spirit calls the Antichrist the same name Jesus called Judas Iscariot. Funny. Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Wow, what a mouthful. Is that the greatest revelation of prophecy you have ever read in your entire life? For why he hasn't returned yet? You see, unlike the Apostle John, who writes an apocalyptic literature, the Apostle Paul lays it all out for you, plain and clear to understand. There's no lamb here. There's no dragon. There's no beast. He's telling you exactly what has to happen first before his return and our gathering together to him. The day of Christ will not come until, and here's the answer to my sermon title here today, why the delay? Why the delay? The day of Christ will not come until or unless, number one, write this down, the falling away comes first. Greek word, apostasia. That's two words. The first word is stasis, which means to stand. Apo means away from. Like an apogee moon, right? That means when it's farthest away from us. Apostasis. This is the greatest definition of this word I've ever read in my entire life. It comes from a native speaking Greek. This is how he defines the word apostasis, apostasy. To separate oneself for fear of incurring the dangers of that association. Now that's brilliant. Let me read that again. To separate oneself for fear of incurring the dangers of that association. To stand away from or to stand apart from. Look at how the Apostle Peter modeled this behavior. Let me read it to you. I think it's up there. Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Let me read. I want to show you what this looks like in the Bible. What apostasis looks like in the Bible. No better place to go than the Apostle Peter. Luke chapter 22, verse 54. Now, having arrested Jesus, all right, some people want to turn there. Okay, give me a minute. Well, I get a little bit of water here. Luke 22, 54. Okay. Now, having arrested Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Now, look what it says next. It says, but Peter followed at a distance. That's that word in action. Separating oneself from fear of the dangers that occur by associating yourself with something or someone is what this word means. Peter followed at a distance. Now, when they had kindled a fire, verse 55, in the midst of the courtyard, and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." This is what apostasy looks like. And this is what we're waiting for prior to his return and our gathering together to him. A mother of all falling away by temporary Christians. Verse 57, he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, this is verse 59. After about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned. Can you see that now? And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Boy, can you just put yourself in his shoes? Can you imagine how he must have felt by that?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.